So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how we thank you tonight for the day we've had. We thank you for the visitors of the morning. We thank you for the soul that was saved. We thank you, Lord, for the crowd tonight and their love for you and their desire to be in the house of God and their obedience to your word. I just pray you'd bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. I know that, Lord, all of us have things we're dealing with in life that are too big for us, but you're able to give us the peace and the comfort that only you can give. You're able to open doors that no man can close and close doors that no man can open. Thank you, Father, for taking care of us the way you do and being so kind and faithful. Now I pray you'd bless us tonight as we look into your word, that by your Holy Spirit you'd open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive your word, that you would enable it to do its work in our hearts and minds and lives, that you might be magnified, the Lord Jesus might be glorified, your people might be edified, and sinners might be saved. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a boy, not too long ago, it seems like yesterday, I was a Boy Scout. Now then, that was when Boy Scouts was for boys. We didn't have girls in the Boy Scouts, and they didn't have any boys in the Girl Scouts. I guess today it's just called Scouts. Now, it used to be about God and country. I don't know what it's about today. However, in Boy Scouts, we had a motto. Some of you might remember that motto. It was called, "Be prepared." The word prepared means to make ready in advance. Being prepared means that we don't wait until the last minute to get things ready. Benjamin Franklin said, "By failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail." Abraham Lincoln said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree. I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe." John F. Kennedy said, "The time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining." That's all about being prepared, isn't it? When I read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, I thought about this. Because it says here that the eternal God prepares things. In other words, he doesn't wait until the last minute. He gets things ready beforehand. For instance, God had a gospel before anyone needed a gospel. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible said, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth." And so, did you hear that? It said it was an everlasting gospel. The gospel didn't come into being at some time. It was everlasting. Isn't that interesting? That God had already prepared a gospel before anyone ever needed a gospel. God did not just come up with the gospel as a knee-jerk reaction to the fall of mankind. The things in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9... are already prepared. He's not waiting until just before the rapture. These things are ready now. Now, if God is wisdom, and he is, and God prepares, then it follows that it's wise to prepare. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 say this, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." This is preparation. And again, it is wise because God said it is wise. Now, the opposite of preparing, according to Proverbs chapter 6, the opposite to preparing is being a sluggard. The word sluggard means lazy. It means loafer. It means slouch. It means idler. It means unprepared. God is one who prepares. And he sees wisdom in those who prepare. Your future is coming, whether you're prepared for it or not. And you're going to have to deal with your future either being prepared or unprepared. And if you're too lazy to prepare, then you're going to have to deal with a whole different future than you thought you would have to deal with. The Lord Jesus was one who prepared. In Mark 14:15, the Bible says about the Last Supper, he said, "And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." And so he told his disciples, "I want you to go into the city. You'll find a room that this individual has already prepared. And then I want you to prepare it even more." He said, "Make ready for us." So this man prepared what he could prepare. And then the disciples came and prepared what they could prepare. And when Jesus got there, it was ready beforehand. He didn't just wait until they all got there. And as I thought further on 1 Corinthians 2:9, I wondered about what the Bible says about the things that God has prepared or made ready beforehand. So my first point tonight is this: prepared by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, verse 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, we find things that God has prepared that await us, and we can't even imagine them. We've never seen anything like them. We've never heard anything like the things we're going to hear. We haven't even dreamed of any of these things that God says he has prepared. But there they are. Already prepared and waiting for us. How wonderful God is. Isaiah 64:4 says this: "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." Now, I don't know, but it sounds to me like God has some things prepared the angels haven't even seen. Now, I know it says men have not seen, men have not heard, but it says, "Neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee." What a surprise it's going to be when we finally see and hear what God has prepared. There are no words to describe them. You'll just have to be there. But what else do we know that God has prepared? Well, let's look at a couple things God has already prepared. Number one, a throne of judgment. Psalm 9, verse 7, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath," past tense, "prepared his throne for judgment." God has prepared his throne for judgment. What else has he prepared? Well, he prepared people for work. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 36. "And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people." So Hezekiah is rejoicing, "Thank you, God, for preparing the people." And the people are rejoicing, "Thank you, God, for preparing us." Amen. "For the thing was done suddenly." Hezekiah was setting up the temple, and he was cleansing it and reestablishing the sacrificial worship. And it was done suddenly, or without hesitation, and there were too few priests at the time to handle the sacrifice, and so the Levites chipped in and helped. So we see that God has beforehand prepared people to do the work that no one even knows is coming. These Levites they never knew they were going to have to do that, but God had already prepared them, so when the time came for their need, there they were. God prepares people ahead of time. He doesn't wait till the end and say, oh no, what am I going to do? Who am I going to get to do this? And try to find people that have qualifications. No, he already prepares people. See, you are prepared for something. You are prepared for someday. God prepares people in advance. Here's something else God prepared. He prepared a lot for Jonah's journey, didn't he? God did a lot of preparation for his reluctant prophet. He prepared a great fish in Jonah 1:17. He prepared a gourd in Jonah 4:6. He prepared a worm in Jonah 4:7. He prepared an east wind in Jonah 4:8. What a lot of preparation God had in this man's ministry and in this man's life. Even when he was reluctant, God was already prepared, wasn't he? He's not caught off guard. He's not caught by surprise. God in his omniscience prepares ahead of time for the direction and correction of his servants. God has things prepared for you that you're not aware of, no matter which way you turn. What else does God prepare? Well, we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, he prepared a city. But now they, that's the Old Testament saints, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God here, for he hath prepared for them a city. It's already prepared. And it was prepared before they even knew about it. But they saw it afar off, didn't they? They saw it by faith. And God has prepared for us a city. And we need to see it by faith. It's already there. He prepared a place of refuge for Israel. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This is speaking of Israel during the tribulation period. Now God knows where this place is, and he has it waiting for them when it's needed. Isn't that amazing? He's already prepared a place for them before they even need it. And then he has prepared a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation chapter 21. If you'd like to turn there, I'm going to read four verses, five, verses 1 through 4. Revelation chapter 21. This should encourage every believer. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. What does the sea do? Seas divide. Now, we ought to be thankful for the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. You know why? Because they separate us from some crazy people. Am I right? I mean, I just saw what's happening in Spain this week. They don't have a sea of separation. People are just going across the border. It's crazy. It's an invasion. But there'll be no more sea in this city, in this new heaven, and in this new earth, because there will be no division. There'll be no need for separation. We'll all be separated unto God together. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he shall be their God. Now look at this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Now listen, John saw this new heaven and new earth, this new Jerusalem. He saw it nearly 2,000 years ago. It's already prepared. These are some of the things that we know about, which God has prepared or made ready beforehand. And then he says, listen, there's other stuff I can't even tell you about, because it's hard enough for us to understand this. Isn't it hard to understand a place where there's no death, no pain? We don't know that. We don't know anything about that, because every day there's pain. Right. This row might not have too much, but it's coming, believe me. And so we have all these wonderful things that God said, I've already prepared. I go to prepare a place, what? For you. Where? In my Father's house. And so we have all these things we know about, and we try to understand them, we try to comprehend them. And he says, that's hard enough, but there's stuff I couldn't even tell you about because it'd just blow your mind. You wouldn't be able to deal with it. It's so beyond us. And they're prepared already. I don't know about you, I'm getting excited about going. You know, I want to see that. I want to hear that. I think we're going to hear things we never heard, see things we never saw, understand things we never understood, feel things we never felt before. It's going to be glorious. And then, my second point is this, we're supposed to be prepared too. Number two, my second point is, the first point is prepared by God, the second point is prepared by believers. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. The Bible says, for Ezra had prepared his heart. Isn't that good? He prepared his heart, here it is, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Here was a man of whom it is written, he had prepared his heart. It doesn't say God prepared his heart. It says he prepared his heart. What did he prepare his heart to do? What does the word prepare mean? It means make ready in advance. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. A prepared heart that wants to know God's word and is prepared to know it and read it and seek it before you ever start. It's prepared. When you sit down to read your Bible, you ought to prepare your heart in advance. Number two, he prepared his heart to do it. A heart prepared to not only know the word, but to do it. And so Hezekiah is saying this. Listen, when I sit down and I've prepared my heart, I'm going to seek the word of God. I'm going to read it. I'm going to get to know it. Then he said, but not only that, I've already prepared my heart that when I read it, I'm going to do it. Whatever it says, I'm going to do it. Now, I've told you this story, and I wasn't planning on telling you this story, but I like to tell some stories from time to time. And they're true. They're not stories. But when I first got saved, I was just a simpleton. I'm not as simple, but I'm still a little simple. But I was really simple. I was just a sinner, just got saved. And I started reading the Bible. And I got to the point where the Bible says we shouldn't eat ham. And I prepared my heart to seek the word, so I'm reading it. I didn't know where to start. Start at the beginning, right? Didn't know where you start, so I started at the beginning. And then I had set my heart, prepared my heart to do it. So if it said it, I did it. So guess what? We don't eat ham in our house. We don't eat pork products in our house. Our hot dogs are all beef. I read all the ingredients. That was a heart that wanted to do it, you see? And then Hezekiah prepared his heart to teach it, to seek it, to do it, and to teach it. A heart prepared not only to know and do himself, but to teach it to others also. His family, his house, his servants, and all of Israel who would listen. Our human hearts are naturally inclined not to seek the word and not to do it and certainly not to teach it. They must be prepared by the spirit of our mind, which must be filled with the spirit of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says, Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your what? Of your mind. And so my heart doesn't want to always seek the word of God. It doesn't always want to do the word of God. It doesn't always want to teach the word of God to others and share the word of God with others. So I have to prepare my heart by being renewed in the spirit of my mind by the indwelling spirit of God. We need to be ready in advance to seek God's word. That means we make up our mind that we're going to read the Bible. That means we make up our mind we're going to hear the Word of God. That means we do not see it as an option, but an opportunity. It means that we have determined in our heart to make it happen. Bible reading and Bible hearing. We need to be ready in advance to be doers of the Word. That means that we do not wait until the moment of testing or the moment of temptation or the moment of trial to make our decision as to what we will do. A prepared heart says, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and regardless of the outcome, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the cost. That's a heart that's prepared to do it. But you got to make that, you have to prepare their heart before you get in the situation. See? You have to make ready in advance. We make those decisions in advance. We prepare our heart to obey God rather than man. We prepare our heart to obey God rather than others and rather than ourselves. And making this decision ahead of time frees us from the influences that surround us when such decisions have to be made. A prepared heart frees us from the deception of a deceitful heart. A prepared heart frees us from the selfish heart, from the fearful heart, from the wavering heart. We must determine ahead of time that we will do and not at the last minute under the power of the immediate. And we need to be ready in advance to teach the Word of God to others. What are you going to do with the Word of God that you seek? What are you going to do with the Word of God that you're doing? You know, we need to teach it to others. We need to teach it to our families and to our friends, to our acquaintances, to our neighbors, to our brothers and sisters, both in the flesh and in the spirit. We need to be ready to teach it to our co-workers and anyone else who we can. The Bible says we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you. Our hearts have to be prepared that if someone asks you a question, you can answer it. And if you can't answer it, you'll find out and get back to them with the answer. He said, I want to teach others also. That means that we're always ready to give a biblical reason for what we're doing. We're always ready to give a biblical answer to a question. We're always ready to give a biblical reply that supersedes our own reply. I'll just give you an illustration. Sometimes we will say this. Well, you know, I'll think about it. What should we say? Well, I'm going to pray about it. Yeah, but I'm talking to an unbeliever. I'm talking to a mocker. I'm talking to a scoffer. So what? Your heart's prepared to give an answer. And the biblical answer isn't, I will think about it. I will determine. I will figure it out. I. The biblical answer is, I'll have to pray about that. I'm going to pray about that. And you don't know what that testimony will do to the hard heart that hears you talking about praying about that. A prepared heart means that we supersede our own answers. Now notice now that we cannot and will not be able to get to the teaching others until we ourselves have prepared our hearts and seek the Word and are doing it. You follow that? How can I teach others if I'm not first seeking the Word of God so I know it, and I'm not secondly doing it as an example? You know, that's like saying, do as I say and not as I do. That's kind of like the Democrats who say, rules for thee, but not for me. Huh? We can't be like that. If we try to teach others without seeking and doing, we will be found as empty vessels, clouds without rain, wells without water, and hypocrites, so that our words will fall upon deaf ears and fallow ground. Just like Lot, who, when it was time for him to warn his children about God's impending judgment, the Bible says he seemed to them as one that mocked. In other words, when it was time for Lot to tell his children and his sons-in-laws about God and about angels, and they came to my house and they told me this and they told me that, you know what his children heard? Here's what they heard. Wah, 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 wah. That's all they heard. Hey, who are you coming up in my house and start telling me all this stuff? I've watched you live. I heard about what happened. And all of a sudden you're religious. All of a sudden you're a holy Joe. All of a sudden you're telling me what to do, and you haven't been doing it all along. You see how important it is? A prepared heart wants to know what God's word says. A prepared heart wants to do what God says. And a prepared heart wants to help other people know what God says. That's what Hezekiah did. The spiritual Christian, the serious Christian, the effective Christian, and the best Christians are those who have prepared hearts to seek the word, to do the word, and to share the word. Point number three. Prepare to meet thy God. Turn with me to Amos chapter 4. Now Amos is right before the New Testament in the minor prophets there. Just kind of thumb around until you find Amos. If you find Hosea, you all know where he is. So just move over a little bit to the right and you'll find Amos. You all know where Obadiah is. So find him and turn to the left. And there sits Amos. So Amos chapter 4, verse 11. God says, I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Now, as we heard this morning, you are going to meet God face to face. You are going to meet the God that created you, but you will meet him in judgment. You must answer to the one who gave you life, who provided for you food and air, and he gave you the free will to choose right or wrong. You'll stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to give an account and receive the just reward of your doing. And there will be no place to hide, and no pleas to make, and no secrets to keep. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God is the only one in the universe that genuinely and truly has X-ray vision. He sees through everything. He sees through walls and ceilings. He sees through clothing. He sees through excuses. He sees through rationalizations. He sees through all the little things we build around us to try to hide ourselves and our intents and our true hearts from him. He sees right through it. So God, in his mercy and knowing the terror of his judgment, and I want to say this. You're here tonight and you're saved. Now, I understand the terror of the great white throne judgment, right? Because all those people are going to be sent to the lake of fire. But I want you to understand, as a Christian, there is a terror at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going into the judgment seat of Christ whistling a happy tune. You're not going in there and say, hey, well, let's see what's going on. Go ahead, play the film. You're not going to say, oops. You're not going to say, my bad. It's going to be terrifying to stand before the creator of the universe, the savior of your soul, the one who gave you life and gave you eternal life, and now the life he gave you, the new life in Christ, we're going to see what it really was. That's terrifying. He knows the terror of the judgment. And so what he has done is he's warned us in advance to prepare to meet him at the throne which he has prepared for judgment. Now, there are two ways to prepare to meet thy God. Number one, by getting saved and prepared to meet God, washed in the blood and clothed in the righteousness of God. Revelation 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, here it is, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's who you're going to meet face to face. The one who shed his blood and gave his life so that your dirty, wicked, vile sins could be forgiven. And then we're going to stand there and think we're not going to be concerned about how we lived that new life. So if you're not saved, you're not prepared to meet God until you've been washed in the blood. Philippians 3:8-9. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. Here it is, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You need to be washed in the blood. You're not prepared to meet God unless you've been washed in the blood. You're not prepared to meet God unless you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So the first way to get ready to meet your God is by being saved. Now, by being saved, then now we prepare to meet our God on a different footing, right? By being saved and living a Christian life worthy of Christ and worthy of reward and worthy of a well done. That's how we prepare to meet Jesus. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Did you hear that? He said we're supposed to walk worthy of him. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for you must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And it's not by the man's estimation of whether it's good or bad. I've met people that they say, it's all good. No, it ain't all good. There's bad. And God said, I'm gonna judge you, dear Christian, by what you've done in that body that I created for you and the new life that I gave you. How did you live that new life? What did you do with that body as a Christian? I know what you did with it before you were Christian, but what did you do with it after you got saved? Matthew chapter 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The Lord is helping us understand that that's what we want to hear from our master, right? When we meet Jesus and we're at that judgment seat and he's going over all these things, at the end, don't we want to hear that? Don't you want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? He didn't say good and perfect servant. He didn't say good and sinless servant. He said good and faithful servant. That's how we prepare to meet Jesus. By walking worthy. And by doing that which is faithful. It's required in a steward. That what? a man be found faithful. You know, the Lord Jesus could return at any moment. Right. Are you ready to meet your God? If he came right now, are you prepared by having been saved? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you prepared to meet the God of the universe?
Amen.
Have you been saved? But let me ask you this. If he came right now, at this moment, are you prepared by living in his will and according to his word? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You know what John said? That's in chapter 22, verse 12. You know what John said to that? Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly. You know what John said to that in verse 20? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Can we say that tonight? Can you as a Christian say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come right now. I want you to come right now. What will we have to say? Give me a couple minutes. Give me another chance. Give me an opportunity to get right. Give me an opportunity to change. Give me an opportunity to do what you told me to do. Give me an opportunity. No, he's coming quickly. And we all should be able to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, at any moment of our lives. Why? Because our hearts are prepared. And because our hearts are prepared, we're prepared to meet our God. What a wonderful thing it's going to be. But what a fearful thing it's going to be as well. Sometimes we just need to have some things change. Wrongs need to be righted. Forgiveness needs to be sought. And grudges need to be let go. Because Jesus might come right now. And we need to be prepared as Christians to meet him face to face. I mean, I think about it like this. I'm going to be sitting somewhere, walking somewhere, doing something, and face to face. Wow. Pew, there he is. Now, I've been looking into that face that has love I've never known and experienced on earth. The eyes that will look right through me and know everything about me. I just want to be ready. I've already done the first one. I've prepared to meet him as my Savior. But I want to be prepared to meet him when he comes quickly. How about you? Let's bow for a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear Christians, we have a God who prepares ahead of time and is never caught off guard. We're to prepare our hearts to seek, to do, and to share. And we are to be prepared to meet him when he comes. He is coming, you know. And it could be tonight or in the morning. Are you prepared, Christian? Or will you have to a lot of explaining to do and tears to be shed? Will you be found living outside of or chafing against his will? Prepare your heart to seek his word, to do his will, and to teach others also, and be ready to meet him when he comes. Perhaps tonight you're not a Christian. Or maybe you're a Christian, but you've never been saved. There's only one thing you need to concern yourself with now, and that is to prepare to meet thy God by getting saved and born again into God's family spiritually. You're outside of his fold, but he beckons you in. You're outside of his family, and he invites you to join. What hinders you? He said, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Do you hear his voice tonight calling to you? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he will forgive you and save you if you'll ask him to. He said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. In the Bible, he saved harlots and the demon-possessed. He can and he will save you. All he asks is that you believe and receive him as your Savior. Maybe there's someone here tonight that would say, preacher, I need to do that. I need to receive Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. I need to call on him and ask him to forgive my sins and save my soul. I want to do that right now, right here in my seat. Would you look up at me? If that's what you need to do and that's what you're ready to do, I want you to look up at me and you and I can pray and you can ask Jesus to be your Savior. I'm just here to help. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, thank you that you're a God who prepares things ahead of time, even before they're needed. Thank you, Father, that we can prepare our hearts and that we can prepare to meet you. Help us to do that on a daily basis so that when Jesus comes, we can rejoice at his appearing and not be ashamed. We love you, Lord. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn tonight, 139. And if you'll take your hymn book and maybe God says, don't sing, pray. Why don't you come? Spend a moment with him. Thank him for the things he's prepared. Thank him for the possibilities that await. Ask him to open doors and close doors. Change what he wants you to change. Be what he wants you to be. Do what he wants you to do. And be willing to share what he wants you to share. We're going to sing number 139. Come. If you have any questions about salvation, any questions about going to heaven, you come and see me at the front. We'll be glad to talk to you about it. Otherwise, the altar's open. 139.